Right, this is Pure Decking, show number 343 for Thursday. What is this, April 4th?
More like that.
And, you know, the current year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you that everyone you see wearing a do-rag is doing it to hide the tinfoil. I'm Morps. Tonight we have BSV.
Hello.
What are you drinking?
Just some... flavored carbonated water.
Well, at least it's flavored. And we have Are You?
All natural, unflavored, non-carbonated liquid.
I thought the water was naturally carbonated where you were now. Well, not naturally, so to speak, but, you know, it came out of the tap that way anyways.
There's something in it. Causing hysteria, panic, insanity.
Oh, fluoride, gotcha.
Well, as long as it doesn't light on fire when a match is applied.
And certain places and provinces in Australia that can happen. Not unlikely for some actual lakes to catch fire.
It's a lot easier to pull that trick off when you put a propane tank under the sink on the hotline. And that way you just turn the lights on.
There was some river in North Queensland, and I'm probably totally wrong, it's probably somewhere else. It actually caught fire due to a fracking incident.
Well, they use some pretty weird-ass chemicals when they're fracking, which I always thought was weird. It's like, why wouldn't you just use, you know, water? it's a pressure thing. It doesn't matter what chemicals you use.
No, apparently it does.
Really?
Yeah, it's to break up the rock, allow the fissures for the gas to come out quicker.
Huh. I always thought it was
I'm not an
pressure
expert,
thing.
Man. I'd have to ask science missus. Didn't know. But, yeah, it's got something to do with breaking away the rock or something like that. To extract the gas easier.
It's a specific form of lubrication, most likely.
Well, most oil rigs and stuff like that, they use a thing called heavy clay or heavy mud to pump down there. I could be totally wrong, but I thought that was the process.
Well, I know a lot of... coal plants make use of heavy water, just like a nuclear plant does, to assist with spinning the turbines. So, I don't know exact details, but apparently it makes better steam for spinning turbines, or whatever the bullshit explanation I was given years ago was. Oh, I probably shouldn't do stuff like that from memory. Especially when it's that old of a memory. Anyways, oh, I'm drinking Bullet Bourbon, if anybody's wondering. So, let's get into the craziest story. And RU and I both noticed this one independently. Because it's like, I saw this, and it's like, yep, there's our lead. And then RU's like, yeah, we have to talk about this. So, this is from the Washington Post. And let me just get the links thrown in the various channels here. There we go. Researchers in Israel created malware to draw attention to serious security weaknesses in medical imaging equipment and networks. So the headline was hospital viruses, fake cancerous nodes, and CT scans created by malware tricking radiologists. So, why?
I double took and I'm like, why are you creating a virus to...
I was more trying to figure out why the article opened with Hillary Clinton, but whatever. It's like we'll read that in a minute. But the concept is funny. They're doing it because it's funny. It's like, look, we can make the computer show fake cancer.
Yeah, not real funny if you're the person being diagnosed with that fake cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know. How great would you feel after that first visit when the doctors tell you you have 6 months to live? You come back for your follow-up a few weeks later. So about that. Turns out you're going to live.
Yeah, it turns out we're going to the car park for a shit-kicking, motherfucker. Glad you're a doctor because you're going to have to put yourself back together. And I hope you're a mechanic as well because your car's about to catch fire. You know what I mean? Nah, dude, that's... There's one thing you should never fuck around with is, you know, people's health. And, like, especially faking it. Like, why not just patch it? You know what I mean? It seems a long way around.
I ask my operations team that every day. Why don't you just patch?
Is it really that hard? Like,
what was the number I told you yesterday? 87%? Anyways, yeah. We did some more work today. It's worse. Anyways.
Yeah, moving right along.
Moving right along.
It just seems backwards to do something like this.
They needed to get attention.
Fair enough. And I can also hack into a car and cause it to crash, but it's just a prank, bro. You know what I mean? It's just a prank, bro. It doesn't really cut it here.
So I hate the way this is written. When Hillary Clinton stumbled and coughed through the public appearances in her 2016 presidential run, she faced critics who said that she might not be well enough to perform the top job in the country. Well, it didn't matter because she lost. What? Obviously, the author is caught up. So it's the Washington Post. So, of course, they're still caught up in politics.
What do you expect? Brian Stelter probably wrote the article.
No, it's somebody by Kim Zetter.
And really, he's not gay. That's not gay.
But the jury's still out on whether or not he's a eunuch. Anyways, to quell rumors about her medical conditions, doctors revealed that a CT scan of her lungs shows she still just had pneumonia. You don't just say you just had pneumonia. That's
just a touch of pneumonia.
That's like saying, oh, it's only a minor broken leg. I mean,
yeah.
What if the CT scan had showed fake cancerous nodes placed there by malware, exploiting vulnerabilities widely in widely used CT and MRI scanning equipment? Researchers in Israel say they have developed such malware to draw attention to serious security weaknesses in critical medical imaging equipment used for diagnosing conditions and networks that transmit those images. Vulnerabilities that could have potentially life-altering consequences if unaddressed.
So this wouldn't be anywhere white supremacist or anything. Like, we can actively say it's the Jews doing this. Right? No? Oh, come on. Come on. It's coming straight out of Israel. If you can't say it this time, when can you fucking say it? It's the Jews.
I have testicular cancer.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just hitting buttons on the soundboard here.
The first time's legitimate.
You were sitting on that joke for how long?
Oh, about 10 seconds. Okay. I wanted to wait. Yeah. It just occurred to you. I'm like, this came out of Israel? There's a joke. Oh, there it is. I know where the joke is in this. It's just a joke, people.
The malware they created would let attackers automatically add realistic, malignant-seeming growths to CT or MRI. So they had somebody on staff who knew what realistic, malignant-seeming growths looked like to be able to do this. Or a really good image library to CT or MRI scans before radiologists and doctors examine them. Or it could remove real cancerous nodes and lesions without detection, leading to misdiagnosis and possibly a failure to treat patients who need critical and timely care. That'd be a hell of a novel for like assassination. Like having the MRI show fake cancer, so you get them all hopped up on chemo they don't need.
Yep.
And mess with medical machines so that they get more dosage than they should. Dude, that'd be an awesome novel.
Just keep showing clear signs. I don't know why you keep coughing up blood, but your scans keep coming up clean.
Or worse, you keep swapping it out. So we think there might be a problem with the MRI. Well, what makes you say that? So the 47-year-old senator who just came in complaining of blood in the lung, or blood in his, coughing up blood. There you go. Yeah, the CT scan shows that he's pregnant.
Hey, dude, my current year. None of that shit. We'll have none of that shenanigans, sir.
Okay. Israel Mystery, Yuval Ivokri, and two others at the Ben-Gurion University of Cybersecurity Research in Israel who created the malware. I can't pronounce those names, so you might not be wrong, are you? Who created the malware say that attackers could target a presidential candidate or other politicians to trick them into believing they have a serious illness and cause them to withdraw from the race to seek treatment. The research isn't theoretical. In a blind study, the researchers conducted involving real CT lung scans, 70 of which were altered by their malware, they were able to trick three skilled radiologists into misdiagnosing conditions nearly every time. Wait. Real 70 which were altered, tricked three skilled. Okay, I thought they were saying like near 70% of the time, all the time. Wait, what? So, in the case of scans with fabricated cancerous nodes, the radiologists diagnosed cancer 99% of the time. In cases where malware removed real cancerous nodules from scans, radiologists said those patients were healthy 94% of the time. So they've made a really good image macro. Even after the radiologists were told that the scans had been altered by malware and were given a second set of 20 scans, half of which were modified, they were still tricked into believing the scans with fake nodes were real 60% of the time, leading them to misdiagnoses involving those patients. In the case of scans where the malware removed cancerous nodes, doctors did not detect this 87% of the time, concluding that very sick patients were healthy. I'm hoping that by this testing, what they really did was just grabbed a bunch of CT scans, altered them, and had doctors judge them, rather than actually fucking with MRI machines in real cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, the researchers ran their test against a lung cancer screening software tool that radiologists often use to confirm their diagnosis and were able to trick it into misdiagnosing the scans with false tumors every time. I was quite shocked, said Nancy Bomel, a radiologist in Canada who participated in the study. I felt like the carpet was pulled out from under me, and I was left without the tools necessary to move forward. The study focused on lung cancer scans only, but the attack would work for brain tumors, heart disease, blood clots, spinal injuries, bone fractures, ligament injuries, and arthritis, Mirsky said. Sir, you have arthritis, but I feel fine. My hands don't hurt at all. Look! Attackers could choose to modify random scans to create chaos and mistrust in hospital or equipment, or they could target specific patients, searching for scans tagged with specific patient name or ID number. In doing this, they could prevent patients who have a disease from receiving critical care or cause others who aren't ill to receive unwarranted biopsies, tests, and treatments. The attackers could even alter follow-up scans after treatment began to falsely show tumors spreading or shrinking. They could alter scans for patients in drug and medical research trials to sabotage the results. The vulnerabilities would allow someone to alter scans reside in the equipment and networks hospitals use to transmit and store CT and MRI images. These images are sent to radiology workstations and back-end databases through what's known as a picture archiving and communication system. I wish we had Static around. He actually knows something about some of these systems.
We have, what, four people in the group who do medical stuff?
Yeah.
For IT? Yeah.
And unless BSV has a side job he hasn't been telling us about, I don't think any of them are around.
Not that I know of, unless I'm somehow picking up jobs or different personality, I hope not.
Well, you have those 6 hours that you can't account for every night, right? Because I have that. And then, you wake up in the field out behind the house, confused, covered in... Anyways, Mirsky said the attack works because hospitals don't digitally sign the scans to prevent them from being altered without detection and don't use encryption on their PACS networks, allowing an intruder on the network to see the scans and alter them. They're very, very careful about privacy. If data is being shared with other hospitals or other doctors, Mirsky said, because there are very strict rules about privacy and medical records. But what happens within the hospital system itself, with no regular person should have access excuse me, to in general, they tend to be pretty lenient about. It's not that they don't care. It's just that their priorities are set elsewhere. That's because those priorities have been set by the HIPAA laws. They haven't mentioned that yet. Although one hospital network they examined in Israel did try to use encryption on its PACS network, the hospital configured the encryption incorrectly, and as a result, the images were still not encrypted.
That's a failure on the tech side.
Yeah, they just didn't have it set up right, and they thought it was.
Yeah.
So the rest of the article goes on talking about how a lot of hospitals don't patch. It's going to require all these changes. We don't know what to do about this. The sky's falling. Oh my God. They have some stuff talking about how, you know, pen testers get into hospital networks quickly and don't get caught for a very long time. And, you know, it only takes 30 seconds with a malicious device to inject malware, which a lot of these things are true of every network, by the way. But go ahead.
Even if you're a malicious individual and probing networks, you'd have to be a special sort of sick fucker to infect a machine with this sort of program. Do you know what I mean?
This specific program, yes.
Yeah, there's a level of curiosity, there's a level of theft, and there's a level of, you know, just malicious action. But then there's this. This is your terrorism level.
Well, we did the article a couple of years ago, but oh my God, they hacked into Goodwill. What kind of horrible people target Goodwill? If they didn't target Goodwill, they just let a bot loose on the internet, right? This is too specific to that kind of equipment to be something that you're just letting loose to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're injecting this into hospital equipment, you're a whole level of state actor or fucking terrorist. You know what I mean? I just can't see the average fucking 15, 16-year-old who's just dicking around doing this for the lulz.
Well, you think the CIA or the Mossad is not doing shit like this?
Well, no, that's what I mean. You'd have to be a state actor to be fucking around with shit like this. But what kind of state actually goes, you know what? Let's write software that does this. I don't know, man. There's something wrong with this. Maybe it's just my internal moral clock going, yeah, something wrong.
Well, this what's happening is you're assuming that there is a space where this kind of fuckery is off limits. And we both know that's not true.
Maybe I like to think the world's not as dark as I think it is every day, every now and then. You know what I mean? The show's full of pretty bad fucking shit every week anyway. Yeah, it's just another level up. For fuck's sake, really? We got to do this to each other now? God damn it.
The world is a dark and scary place. And
it is, man. But also, too, when I get my diagnosis of lung cancer, I'm going to go, bullshit. Your shit's been hacked. I did a fucking story back in the day about this fuckery. You know, I get an independent fucking assessment of your software.
Well, the truth is that in many cases for these kind of systems, these imaging systems, they should be on air-gapped networks. They should not be internet-connected. They should not even be on the same network as regular workstations. I can tell you the last couple times I've been in a hospital, there's Ethernet ports that are open because they just walk up and plug carts into them while they're working, right? There's machines left unlocked in front of you as, you know, everybody walks off and you're sitting there looking at a Windows XP desktop. And it's like,
I know,
damn.
And the skin starts to itch and your mouth waters and you're like, don't touch it.
It's like, I have so many things in my backpack right now I could plug into this computer and just own the entire network. We're not going to because I need these people to help me with what's wrong right now. But I could.
It was like we were in the car dealership, man. There was just open financial transactions on desktops everywhere. You know, I'm like, oh, this could be my playground. Because they're not paying attention.
Years ago, I was getting an oil change done at the dealer I got the car from. This would be 10 years ago now. And, you know, it was an oil change, but it was taking a while because there are other people in front of me. So there wasn't really a lounge, but it was a dealer. So you could just kind of walk around in the back area where they let the customers wait. And for some reason, I was the only one back there. There wasn't any employees. There wasn't any other customers. It was just me. I didn't even notice any cameras, and I usually spot the cameras. But the server closet was there. And wide open with a note on it saying, do not shut, servers like air. And I mean, I walked into their server closet and looked around. There was an unlocked Windows NT 4 node. There was, you know, their servers sitting on a rack, some switches. It's only like three servers, but it's just like, man, I could be such a dick right now, but I need them to finish my car. So it's like, you know. It's just like, I mean, I don't get it. I don't know how you'd be so blasé about it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there are always going to be people with really bad intentions getting into shit. So
can we just legislate those people out? That's how they think.
Well, I think most of those people are the ones writing the legislation, so...
No, they're not. Look what just got passed in my country.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a second. Although I did hear a fantastic joke the other day. The reason the British government won't allow people to have guns is because they might use them against the British government.
Yeah.
I think it was because they might use them to shoot politicians, so...
Yep. Not disagreeing on that one. Not advocating for it, but I'm not disagreeing.
Did I accidentally close the tab? I did. There it is. It's like, where'd the story go? I had a story. There it is. This one's from The Guardian. There we go. And let's see. Hang on. Something's screwy. There it goes. Okay. Australia passes social media law penalizing platforms for violent content.
Towards a fucked up dystopia. Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide?
Labor supports legislation in response to Christchurch shooting that threatens jail for executives, despite media companies' concerns. The Australian Parliament has passed legislation to crack down on violent videos on social media, despite furious reaction from the tech industry, media companies, and legal experts. The Labour opposition combined with the ruling Liberal National Coalition to pass the law on Thursday, despite warning it won't allow prosecution of social media executives as promised by the government. Tech giants expressed the opposite concern that it may criminalize anyone in their companies for a failure to remove violent material. have guns just to shoot British politicians too. Psychros. Well done, sir. Well done. Let's see. The bill described the Attorney General Christian, or described by the Attorney General Christian Potter as most likely a world first, and was drafted in the wake of the Christchurch terror attack, when video of the alleged perpetrator's violent attack spread on social media faster than it could be removed. On Thursday, Porter said Facebook and Twitter should not be playing footage of murder. Have you seen Facebook Live? that's like 80% of it. Or if not murder, social murder, in the same way that commercial television stations should not show it. There are platforms such as YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook who do not seem to take their responsibility to not show the most abhorrently violent material seriously, he told reporters in Canberra. No, they're not taking it seriously because they're not censoring fast enough. the sharing of an abhorrent violent material bill creates new offenses for content service providers and hosting services that fail to notify the Australian Federal Police about or fail to explicitly remove videos depicting abhorrent violent conduct. That conduct is defined as videos depicting terrorist acts, murders, attempted murders, torture, rape, or kidnap, which I think everyone can agree are bad things. but
they exist.
You're kind of going at this.
I shouldn't be shielded from that.
The bill creates a regime for the e-safety commissioner to notify social media companies that they are deemed to be aware they are hosting abhorrent violent material, triggering an obligation to take it down. They are deemed to be aware. There's a phrase. We have decided that you knew this. Wait, what?
Yeah, the government knows what you didn't know, but they know you knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You somehow have to know the moment anything gets posted exactly what it contains.
And look, the fuckery starts when this comes into action. Because I realize that rugby league is a very violent sport. And I would not like to see that violence shown on any platform in Australia.
To test this shit fuckery, we chose Australia.
Yep. I plan to flag everything. Football, women's sport, anything that involves human contact. If there's a question on a game show that may trigger, I'm going to flag that fucking game show. We're just going to start mass flagging the fucking e-commissioner or whatever the fuck it's called.
Anytime the Australian government puts up a video.
Yep, exactly. Hey, you want to do a video about keeping the boats back from illegal immigrants? That's violence. Hey, you're talking about something that I deem violent? That's violence. I'm flagging it, man.
Violence by language.
I'm going to become a fucking suicide flagger. I'm just going to flag until they cut me off.
Porter said a reasonable or expeditious time frame would depend on the circumstances and be up to a jury to decide. But every Australian would agree it was totally unreasonable that it should exist on their site for well over an hour without them taking any action whatsoever. Fucker, have you never tried to hunt sat down one file on a large system? No, of course he hasn't.
My quick question is, how much gets uploaded in an hour to these networks?
Terabytes. Actually, there was a... look that up.
So let's just give the entire Australian government and see if they can manage to surf through that data in an hour and see if they pass.
Here we go. According to Google, 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute.
Yeah, this is just a blanket one to get rid of what they want.
Yeah.
You
know, it's a whim law.
It's just, yeah, it's a way of getting rid of LiveLeak and any other site that they deem douchebaggery. They'll tap, it's a way to get rid of 4chan. You know, and every other place out there that they disagree with or that disagrees with them.
Well,
it's starting to look a little dystopian. You know what I mean?
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
This law would for well over an hour without taking any action whatsoever. This law would prevent that. No, it wouldn't. And would criminalize that. Okay, yes, it would do that. And offer the government an ability to respond where an organization like Facebook lets something live stream and play for a long time on their platform.
Well, Mups, you see, it will prevent it when YouTube just no longer exists for Australia as they cut all...
That's basically what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
This is unenforceable, and the first time they go to Facebook or YouTube or Twitter and say, hey, you left that video up for 5 minutes and I didn't like what it had to say. Well, you could have reported it and we would have taken it down. No, you left it up. We're suing your asses. We're going to put your executives in jail, and Australia's blocked from Twitter.
The mainstream media, the Australian mainstream media, are running around hailing this as the greatest thing ever.
Well, yeah.
And how awesome.
It just locked out all of their competition.
It's fantastic. And then one reporter had the fucking gall to go, oh, we're going to be extraditing Mark Zuckerberg by the end of the year. And I'm like, fucking fake news, motherfucker. And then they are going, we want to have Christopher Poole indicted for owning a 4chan. And that's how out of date you are, man.
He doesn't own 4chan. He sold that years ago.
I know. Gookmoot does now. No? Hirayato, whatever his fucking name is.
The Digital Industry Group, which represents Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, and Verizon Media in Australia, has warned that the bill was passed without meaningful consultation and threatens penalties against tech companies for content created by users. Labor has promised to review the legislation if it is enacted in May. We'll think about changing it if it turns out to be a problem. Fuck off. Adding to a list of national security laws it will have to revisit in government after supporting it in opposition, including the encryption bill, which it has promised to amend. The group's managing director, Sunidia Bose, said members would take down abhorrent content as quickly as possible, but with the vast volumes of content uploaded to the internet every second, this is a highly complex problem. This pass it now, change it later approach to legislation, as we saw with the encryption law, creates immediate uncertainty for Australia's technology industry, she said. It threatens employees within any company that has user-generated content to be potentially jailed for the misuse of their services, even if they are unaware of it. The chief executive of Atlassian, Scott Farquhar, has said that no one wanted abhorrent violent material on the internet, but the legislation is flawed and will unnecessarily cost jobs and damage our tech industry. The current legislation means that anyone working for a company that allows user-generated content could potentially go to jail for 3 years. Yeah, you in the mailroom, to jail. Somebody just uploaded a sex tape. Come on.
There you go.
As written in... I mean, you know that's what would happen if they actually start jailing people. It wouldn't be the CEOs. It wouldn't be the big names.
No.
It'd be the fucking janitor. It'd be Bob from the mailroom.
It wouldn't be Bob. It'd be Jose. Or fucking Ahmed.
Well, if it's fucking Ahmed, he's busy. But regular Ahmed, let's see. As written, that applies to news sites, social media sites, dating sites, job sites, anywhere user content could be created. Friendster.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the list. There was a guy who did a great parody of Alex Jones listing all the websites he hadn't been deplatformed from. It was like Friendster, MySpace, realestate.com. Farquhar complained that the legislation failed to define how expeditiously violent material must be removed, and it did not define who in a social media company could be punished. Corporate penalties ranged from $10.5 million, or 10% of annual turnover, but Labor believes these provisions fail to pierce the corporate veil and punish executives for the actions of others in the company. Penalties for individuals who provide a hosting service and fail to remove material can be up to 3 years imprisonment or a $2.1 million fine or both. Individuals who quote-unquote provide a hosting service, 3 years in jail and a $2.1 million fine. Not to the company, the person. That's nuts. It's like, what do? I clean the floors at Microsoft. To jail with you. I mean, it's... this is how you get companies to leave your country.
Yeah.
On Monday, Labor warned these penalties would not apply to executives of social media companies because giants such as Facebook and Twitter, not the individuals themselves, provide the service. Well, and, you know, you're like you're going to get any of these executives to set foot in your country until this law is sorted out. If Zuckerberg decided to take an Australian vacation, they probably would try to grab his ass under this law.
Yeah. Oh, New Zealand definitely would.
Oh, yeah. Porter responded to those concerns Thursday by noting the government had received advice that some services, such as 4chan and 8chan, had individuals who were responsible for those platforms who could be charged.
Are they going to get wheels? Good luck.
Even with respect to larger platforms such as Facebook and such as YouTube, there could well be instances where an individual is so complicit with the reckless availability of abhorrent violence that they would be individually liable. Where's the button?
Yes.
The Law Council of Australia President Arthur Moses said criminalizing social media companies and executives was a serious step and should not be legislated as a knee-jerk reaction to a tragic event because of the potential for unintended consequences. What? A voice of reason? Hang him! A spokeswoman for News Corp Australia said making digital platforms liable for what they made available to the world was overdue, and the bill went beyond this. While we have worked with government to try to minimize the impact, this law risks criminalizing news reporting and provides significant powers to the eSafety Commissioner to take down news content, she said. The bill includes defenses for public interest journalism, but the chief executive of the Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance, Paul Murphy, said it had concerns that the legislation is being rushed in such a complex area without proper consideration to ensure it does not impinge on media freedom. In other words, no user-generated content out of Australia, and if you violate that law, off to jail with you and a $2.1 million fine.
Well, I know there's an absolute mad cunt in South Australia who's hosts his own blog in his house, and on the front page of that blog is the New Zealand massacre with the words, "Come at me, faggots."
Well, under this law...
So, Mops, how hard would it be to set up a website, let's say owned by some politicians that that's hosting these videos?
Well, I mean, you can put whatever you want in the Whois database when you register your domains, so most of the time your domain registrars won't let you just put any old shit in there. But, they're static.
What up?
What are you drinking, Static?
I've been drinking bourbon. Lots of fucking bourbon.
Good man. Oh, hey, we can ask Static the question. He knows something about image data systems.
Oh, God.
First article we did was on some Israeli researchers who created malware that could fake lung cancer in clean CT scans.
No. God damn it. No, that's not cool.
I thought you were going to say it's not possible. It's like, no, that's just not cool.
No, that's not fucking cool at all.
I know. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I'll take this opportunity to get some water.
Yeah, they were talking about how they internal systems on hospitals are poorly protected, and whereas the hospital-hospital communications aren't too bad, the internal systems are usually not set up protected at all.
But again, why do you need to make this malware for that reason?
Because then they can take and exploit insurance companies, patients, hospitals themselves, and sequester money out of them. Why do people do malicious things ever? Typically, it's either for kicks or money.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're trying to impress a girl. I've seen a lot of people do stupid shit trying to do that.
I didn't have to do anything stupid to impress the girl tonight at the bar. I mean, that was easy. I got the picture and the phone number both.
Nice. Oh, wait. Hang on. Let me see that picture.
This is a picture of Aquaman.
Come on, I'll take the picture.
But yeah, I hadn't thought about money from the insurance companies. That is a good angle.
And you wouldn't be surprised, but I know several very large hospital systems that my company works with. Their system sucks from a security standpoint.
Yeah, I know. You've asked me questions about stuff in the past and they just went, damn it.
Right?
So, anyways, where were we?
This is, of course, a picture of former President Ronald Reagan naturally firing a machine gun while riding on the back of a dinosaur.
Let's see this. Not bad.
So I got about 20 minutes before she's off.
Oh, Static, you missed the opening joke. Anyone you see wearing a do-rag is doing it to hide the tinfoil.
Yes.
For anybody who hasn't figured it out, in the photo he just sent, he's wearing a do-rag. Anyways.
No, I'm not. I'm wearing a cap backwards.
Those hide the tinfoil, too.
Maybe so, but...
Moving right along. Next article is from computerweekly.com. A year after the Cambridge Analytica data sharing scandal, researchers have discovered publicly exposed data stores belonging to more than two more third-party developed Facebook apps. The cyber risk team at security firm UpGuard, I bet they get tired of people going, "Hey, what's up, Guard?" found one data store originating from the Mexico-based media company Cultura Colectiva of 146 gig, containing more than 540 million records, detailing comments, likes, reactions, account names, Facebook IDs, and more. A separate backup from a Facebook-integrated app called At the Pool was also found exposed to the public internet via an Amazon S3 bucket, containing columns for Facebook user IDs, friends, likes, musics, passwords, and more than 22,000 users. However, the discovering team said the passwords are presumably for the At the Pool app rather than the user's Facebook account. You want to bet? And even if they are, how many people who install an At the Pool app are probably using the same password for every fucking thing? Not bitter. But the passwords were stored in plain text, which would put users at risk who would reuse the passwords across accounts. The UpGuard team also notes that the app appears to have ceased operation in 2014, adding that this offers little consolation to the app's users whose names, passwords, email addresses, Facebook IDs, and other details were openly exposed for an unknown period of time. Moreover, how many of these people do you think haven't changed their passwords since 2014? Despite Facebook making some effort to reduce third-party access to users' data in the wake of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, its discoveries show that the data genie cannot be put back in the bottle, and data about Facebook users has been spread far beyond the bounds of what Facebook can control today. Combine that plentitude of personal data with storage technologies that are often misconfigured for public access, and the result is a long trail of data about Facebook users that continues to leak. They said in a blog post, the At the Pool data was taken offline while UpGuard was still investigating its likely origins. The investigators do not know if that was a coincidence, if there was a hosting period lapse, or if a responsible party became aware of the exposure. Well, if somebody's watching their logs, maybe. Also, I know Amazon has stepped up their messaging in their control panels about public S3 buckets. So somebody could have logged in there because they started seeing the bill go up because their Amazon S3 bucket started getting hit with the researchers dumping it. And then they saw, oh, public bucket, fuck. But actually, if you are running AWS, there are a lot of services out there that'll monitor its usage to give you alerts if your average bill's about to change. So I'm betting it was more that than anything because it's all usage-based, right? So... let's see. On the other hand, UpGuard said the Cultura Colectiva data was secured only on the 3rd of April after Facebook was contacted by Bloomberg for comment, despite notifying the company on the 10th of January and following up 4 days later. UpGuard also notified Amazon Web Services on the 29th of January, who contacted Cultura Colectiva. The discoveries highlight the inherent problem of mass information collection, which is that it does not naturally go away, and a derelict storage location may or may not be given the attention it requires, an UpGuard team said. App developers for Facebook said part of the platform's appeal is access to some slice of the data generated by and about Facebook users. For Cultura Colectiva, data on responses to each post allowed them to tune an algorithm for predicting which future content will generate the most traffic. The data exposed in each of these sets would not exist without Facebook, yet these data sets are no longer under Facebook's control, UpGuard team said. In each case, the Facebook platform facilitated the collection of data about individuals and its transfers to third parties who became responsible for its security. The surface area for protecting the data of Facebook users is thus a vast and heterogeneous, and the responsibility for securing it lies with millions of app developers who have built on its platform. Let's see. Yeah, that's good enough. So, you know what? The true answer here is, if you put it on Facebook, assume it's public. Even your password, even the stuff you have flagged private. So you know.
Don't use Facebook?
That's a good answer, too.
Probably your best bit.
Or, you know, if you're going to put it on Facebook, just be aware that you might as well be walking around naked with it tattooed on your back. And some people don't care, so.
Are we surprised anymore?
Nope.
It's like, what, the fourth time? So, no.
At minimum.
Well, Facebook's going to transition into Instagram anyways, and Instagram will be their prime moneymaker, and they'll eventually shut Facebook down. I don't know. Are they making a lot of money off their marketplace? Apparently, that's really picked up.
I have no idea, man.
I know they take a cut of it.
Never have.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Next article. This one's from Engadget. Toyota will share its patented hybrid vehicle tech for free and charge rival companies for technical support.
There you go.
It's a great business idea.
Is you're going to have an Apple Qualcomm situation where they start suing each other every couple of years. With more than 80% of the hybrid vehicle market, Toyota... Prius. Just say Prius, you assholes. Oh, my God. There's some friends of my family who almost every time anybody talks about getting a car, they just start screaming, are you going to get a Prius? You going to get a Prius? You got to get a Prius. Because they really, really, really buy into the global warming stuff. And I don't mean the whole don't pollute and don't, you know, be wasteful and all that stuff. No, I mean, like, you know, they're right there with Ocasio-Cortez saying the world's fucked in 12 years. It's like, what are
Bring
you talking
it
about?
On.
It's fucked today. We all know that. It's like, are you not paying attention? They said we had 10 years left 30 years ago. I think we missed the deadline.
When I was in primary school, they told me it was going to be an ice planet.
How disappointing that it didn't happen.
Mm.
It's a lot easier to warm up than it is to cool down, at least for me.
Just imagine the cooling you can put on a PC on a frozen planet.
I've never seen these AMD processors clock so fast. We never had to upgrade from the Athlon. We just kept overclocking it. Oh.
I built this XP machine to heat my son's room.
Turns out they keep using it at hospitals for some reason. I don't know. Okay. I got distracted. Where was I? With more than 80% of the hybrid vehicle market, Toyota is undoubtedly a leader in hybrid technology. Rather than lock that expertise away, Toyota announced it will share nearly 24,000 patents with fellow automakers. According to the company, this is an attempt to promote electric vehicles worldwide and combat global emissions, a kind of rising tide lifts all boats approach. But the 23,740 patents reach back 20 years. Wait, I thought patents were only 10 years.
I'm not sure for auto.
Huh. I don't know.
Where's Matt, man, when you need him?
Yeah, shit, he knows
exactly.
This stuff. We can ask Google. Life of a patent.
20
years. So, okay, it's all of it. Reach back 20 years and cover fuel cells, electric motors, power control units, system controls, engine transaxles, and chargers. Toyota will begin sharing the proprietary information immediately and will continue to do so through 2030. The company will also provide fee-based tech support to manufacturers who use its motors, batteries, PCUs, electric control units, and other vehicle electrification technologies in their powertrains. It could also be an attempt to encourage Cycross. It's just what popped up in Google, man. If the top result in Google's wrong, I don't have enough expertise to refute it. I don't know. I thought it was 11. So, I mean, he's saying he thought it was 17. Let's see.
Get into the weeds after the show.
Yeah. Hybrid technology as the industry shifts its focus to fully electric cars and trucks. According to Reuters, hybrids amount for 3% of all vehicles sold globally, and fully electric EVs make up 1.5%. Toyota said the technology can be used in a variety of electrified vehicles, including fuel cell EVs and plug-in hybrid models. Tesla took a similar approach in 2014 when it shared its supercharger patents in order to boost electric car adoption. As far as we can tell, no manufacturers have put that to use. We'll see if Toyota has better luck. Actually, I was thinking, how cool would it be if this sparks off an IBM model when it comes to cars? When by IBM model, I mean the IBM PC.
Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying, and it would not be cool at all. Go fuck yourself.
You don't like the idea of modular open source cars?
Nope, not at all.
I'd like the idea of building a car out of modules. What's wrong with the idea?
We'll get into it after the show, but yeah, no.
Okay. So, I don't know. It's, I mean, fuck, enough of the car is already old enough technology that it's out of patent and open, and might as well be open. So, I mean, it's a cool concept, and I kind of like the idea of modular, but I don't know. RU says no, but isn't explaining why.
the entry level to mechanics, it drops down too much. I don't want the average fucking retard to be able to fix his own car.
Well, they still won't. Think about that. I mean,
I don't trust
PC owners you have to deal with.
I do not trust the public, and I think if you ask any dude standing like that does PC repair, they'll probably tell you the same.
Oh, I agree with that.
It just brings the entry level down to where you can have absolute fucking numbskulls tooling with this shit. And this is my safety, man. Like, if you build your PC at home and it catches fire, not my fucking problem. But if I'm sitting in traffic and fucking, you know, you've done something retarded to your engine and it decides to let go and throw a rod through the firewall, you know, and kill you and then cause an accident to my day, I'm not a fan of lowering the entry level on complex tasks.
Prevents some idiot from doing that now?
Because you can't just go and buy that off the shelf. You have to actually know what you're doing. You've got to know part numbers, things like that.
All right.
Would you want someone to go down and get a module brake set and put them on their car themselves?
YouTube can teach you anything.
I was thinking more along the lines that manufacturers would be selling easily compatible parts so you could get... Although, you know, the Chinese knockoff electric fuel cell may not be the greatest of ideas.
There's another one.
You know, you already have a problem with Chinese batteries. You imagine Chinese car fuel cells? It's like, yeah, we put this in the old Prius. Kaboom! Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, electric cars will be great if they ever get around to putting miniature nuclear reactors in them.
What gets me with the electric car is, yeah, we're going down the road of electric cars. That's fantastic for the environment, whatever. We haven't even considered charging stations yet.
No, it's not.
Okay, so what if... So let's just say we got 100,000 people working downtown district 9 to 5. They come home by 7 p.m., 100,000 people plug their cars into the power grid all at the same time. How do you think that's going to work?
You're going to cause rolling brownouts. But
exactly.
Yeah, California had that problem in the 80s, if I remember correctly.
Who gets priority? So, and then we're a really large country, and I was talking to my father about this morning. And I said, okay, I got my electric car. I'm driving from Brisbane to Cairns. It's 2,000 kilometers, so you're generally going to stay overnight in the halfway mark. So I've taken the western route, which is quite a common route. And I stay in a small town called Emerald. You know, it's a little 12-person motel, so you can have 12 rooms. I plug my car in outside on their charger for the pole, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a full battery by the next day. Some little faggot in the middle of the night comes along and unplugs my car just for shits and giggles.
You're stranded for the day.
Exactly.
Or if they like, cut your cable.
There we go again. Or what if... you have a three-car household, and one car has to park in the two cars in the garage and one outside. Where's its charging pole?
You have to run a large extension.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This makes no goddamn sense. And also, too, what's the battery worth for one of those cars? About 30 grand? You can buy a cheap petrol car for 12,000. So the entry level is going to be 30 plus whatever the car's worth. So say at best, it's a $45,000 vehicle for entry level electric. Why would I want that when I can buy a combustion engine one for 12,000?
Because you've been sold a bill of goods that these things are good for the environment. They're not, by the way.
No, they're terrible.
So, and honestly, think about this for a minute.
Which country are we dumping all the excess dead batteries in?
Well, India, obviously. Or maybe African countries. But think about this for a minute. I would argue that the majority of the quote-unquote environmental damage that a car is going to do, right, is done when the car's manufactured. Because you got the mining to get the materials, you've got all this stuff. And these electric cars, the amount of heavy metals in those fucking batteries is nuts.
I'm saying.
So, you know, yeah, you're going to have a little bit of exhaust running the thing on gas, but gas is fairly clean, really. I mean, no, I wouldn't want to suck off of a exhaust pipe and try to breathe it, but...
We've been working on cleaning up the exhaust for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, smog isn't what it was. Yeah, it still exists, but it's not anything like what it was.
And look, last year, one of the first hydrogen cars was built. Why don't we skip the battery and just go straight to hydrogen?
It just
seems we're putting an expensive halfway measure in there to, you know, to sniff our own farts.
Well, it works so well with compact fluorescence. I mean, why not?
Started on complex.
What, you don't like a bulb that contains hazardous waste zone?
LED lights, which obviously were more efficient and last longer, existed when they were pushing compact fluorescence as the answer to light bulbs.
Yeah, dude,
I've had that argument multiple times.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand where the argument that electric cars are better comes from. Now the hybrid cars where you're still putting gas in the thing might honestly be more efficient where it's charging an electric motor and running it that way. I don't know enough about it to argue that it's not. But the pure electric ones where you're charging off the grid, they might as well be coal powered because that's where most places get their electricity.
We don't have any electricity in this country anymore. Hey, we've literally shot ourselves in the foot to, look at the Paris Climate Change Accords. Look what we've done. We're a country of 27 million people. We're not making that big an impact.
I'm glad Trump pulled us out of that thing. any greenies listening to this are losing their mind right now.
It is.
You can send your feedback to Madman at Galaxy 15. Okay.
Look, man, we could sit here and go around and
I know, that's why I'm getting ready to go to the torrent.
Energy
article
is
here.
Wrong, but yeah, let's move along.
Okay, next article is from Torrent Freak. German court, if parents cover for their kids' privacy, they become liable. Parents who knowingly cover for their kids' file-sharing offenses, I've drank too much, become liable for their actions. Parents are already liable for their kids' actions. Germany's Federal Constitutional Court has ruled. The decision brings an end to a case dating back to 2011 that involved the unlicensed distribution of the Rihanna album Loud and a lengthy trip through lower courts. Hundreds of thousands of German citizens, and quite possibly more, have been hit with settlement notices over the past 15 years. The country is one of the most risky places in the world to share files without the permission of copyright holders, as plenty of internet users have found out to their detriment. One such case, dating back to 2011, saw Universal Music send a letter to a family whose internet connection was used to share the Rihanna album Loud. However, the case wasn't straightforward. The parents, to whom the letter was addressed, stated that they had no interest whatsoever in the R&B star. However, one of their three children did, and the parents actually knew which one of them had committed the infringement. Relying on a local law that protects family members from having to testify against each other, the parents refused to hand over the identity of their infringing offspring. However, nope.
Bring forth the child.
It's like, we know it's one of the three, right? Nope, nope, not going to tell you which one. They're 11. Come on.
Wow.
However, after the case was heard by the Munich Court of First Instance, they were themselves held liable in order to pay almost 3,900 euros. The case then headed to Federal Court of Justice, which resulted in another win for Universal. The BGH upheld the decision of the Munich court in 2017 and held the parents liable for infringement, reasoning if the parents knew who had committed the offense but refused to identify them, they should just pay the fine themselves. But the show wasn't over just yet. It's one of their kids. Their kid is, they're already paying the fine. I don't understand this. The case then proceeded to the Federal Constitutional Court, which handed down its decision Wednesday. Siding with the judgment of the lower courts, the BVERFG said that if the parents don't want to identify which of their children committed the offense, then it is they who must be held liable and commit and face the consequences. The fundamental right to respect for family life under Article 6 of the Basic Law does not preclude a civil procedural obligation on internet access holders to disclose which family member used the connection if copyright infringement was committed via the connection, the decision reads. On the basis of this ruling, the second chamber of the First Senate, with a decision released today, did not accept the constitutional complaint of a parent against a conviction for damages and reimbursement of charges who knew which of their children had made the copyrighted music available to the public, but in a civil case had not revealed that. Family protection is not intended to escape tactical considerations of personal liability for infringement of intellectual property rights, the court added. The mere fact of living with other family members does not automatically lead to a disclaimer for the subscriber. While this sounds very much like a defeat for the parents in question, the ruling also clarifies points of law which may prove of importance to others who might find themselves in a similar position in the future. Knowing who committed an infringement and refusing to hand over their information leads to liability, but not knowing who did so may produce a more favorable outcome, says Cologne-based lawyer Christian Smolke. The internet subscriber is not obligated to make any specific inquiries within the family. However, if he himself determines who the perpetrator is, then he must also name them, even if they come from his own family environment, Smolke notes. The ruling leads to the conclusion that parents are now better off if they theoretically entertain the possibility that their children have committed the crime, but at the same time declare they do not know the true culprit. If the parents know the culprit, they must betray him, or they are liable themselves. If they do not know the culprit, the parents are released from liability, the lawyer concluded. Only in Germany, man.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it and you're going to be held liable, then put your kid up for adoption.
Abandon it. You are not my child. I renounce thee. I renounce thee thrice.
If you know who is this, you must denounce them. I mean, it's just like, come on. I mean, this is literally Good Morning Worm, Your Honor. I mean, come on. Yep, copyright infringement trumps family law, apparently. Although they don't mention how old the kid was, but they knew it was one of their three kids, so it certainly sounds like it was a minor, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't the parents already be liable anyways? Am I missing something here?
At least I don't know too many young children that can pay for a 1,000 euro fine.
Okay, he's 12. You levy the fine on him. He declares bankruptcy. I mean, so what? What's the term on bankruptcy? 6 years? Who cares? 5 years?
Seven.
Seven years. Okay. Well, okay. So they got to wait till they're 19 to get a car loan. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, but do you think you're going to give a car loan of, say, 60,000 euros to a kid who's got no prior fucking work experience or...
No, but that's not my point. My point is, it's like, because, okay, you've just levied a 4,000 euro fine on a 12-year-old. Just, you know, declare bankruptcy. They're 12. You know.
On the upside, I won't have to hear about stories like this in a couple of months.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Two things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is an interesting write-up from undeadly.org, which details how to use a YubiKey, and this is one of the newer YubiKeys, as a smart card to hold your SSH keys. And it's a trick involving SSH agent forwarding, and proxy jump. But instead of using the one-time password thing that YubiKey, it's just putting an open PGP key straight up in the YubiKey because the newer ones support acting as a smart card. So it can actually store the smart card protocol. And this is a write-up on how to set up your servers using a YubiKey Neo to... it's a YubiKey Neo and a 4, but apparently the 5 supports even more. And you can actually store your key files on the YubiKey, so you actually have a hardware token for using SSH, which I think is awesome. Nobody else may care, but I think it's cool. And given the stunned silence, I'm going to assume nobody else cares.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Alrighty then. So the second thing I have for us tonight is an archive.org link that up on April 1st, most of the missing music from MySpace, they uploaded in a big archive. And they literally called it the Dragon Horde, the MySpace Dragon Horde from 2008 to 2010. This is, it'll take a little bit of time to analyze the index when you first load it. This is a wide-ranging collection of 490,000 MP3 files from MySpace.com, accomplished using unknown names by an anonymous academic study conducted between 2008 and 2010. The files are arranged by the file names assigned by MySpace's content delivery network, and the key of which is in the metadata.tsv file in this collection. MD5 and SHA hashes are provided, blah, blah, blah. Nearly every file in this item is no longer hosted at MySpace due to a suspicious and low-key deletion loss of data in 2018. There is no information about the origin of the collection at the time. At over 1.3 terabytes of MP3 files named by the content delivery network of MySpace, this collection can best be described as unwieldy. Therefore, it has been left as a set of 144 zip files. There's some old school.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. 1.3 terabytes of MP3 files. Oh, we should download this and add it to the playlist for the show, for the station. Oh, fuck. I may download this later. Not tonight, but maybe later. I thought it was fun.
Get that much storage sitting around?
Well, I've got an unused 8 terabyte disk sitting over there on the desk. It should be all right. It's going in the file server eventually.
Cool.
All the 2000s memes. Party like it's 1999. Yeah. I got to use that joke today for other reasons. Involving authentication schemes. And anyways, not bitter. Not bitter at all.
Tauntauns, Mr. President.
That's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. IRC tonight, we had myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, DPView, and Iron Angel. BSV, closing thoughts.
I don't know. Sorry.
Hairy bipedal species of space lizards offer their own unique benefits.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
I vow to get on the serial pest list of this country once they stop blocking websites. The serial pest list makes you, it's pretty much arrestable on site at certain venues. I hope to be on that list for the Ombudsman for Fair Trade.
Nice.
Dude, I'm just gonna bombard the fucking minister with letters.
Well, we all have to have goals, I guess.
Yep. Takedown lists. I'm going to have so much fun with this. If it goes through, I will direct. I'll direct all my anger. Be great.
And Static, closing thoughts.
My companion is on her way.
It would be really, really awesome.
That's all I got. I'm gonna close out the show.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sounds good. Nose down and call it a night.